If you'll take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29 will be the substance of our message, and I've entitled this short devotional, it's just simply encouraging one another. Encouraging one another. We live in days of slander and backbiting and putting down of others. It just appears to be more and more common. If you flip on a commercial, if you flip on a TV program, it usually has that as its underlying current. And we need to understand, and especially as Christians, that words are very powerful, whether for good or for evil. The proverb says, "There is one who speaks rashly like the thrust of a sword." And so our speaking harshly and rashly can hurt like the piercings of a sword. Could somebody close the slider, please, there? Now, there's another proverb that says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." So let me ask you, when was the last time that you consciously sought to build somebody up or to edify someone with your words? Or to put the flip side, when was the last time that you sinned with your words? Maybe that's easier to remember than the other one. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36 says, "In the day of judgment we shall give an account of every idle word that we speak." Speech is important. God speaks, does he not? In Psalm 19, "The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the works of his hands. Day by day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge." God has spoken to us in his word. So God speaks. God sets a model for our speech. So God speaks, and that's very important for us. Even Jesus Christ, it says that he's given the tongue of disciples so that he might sustain the weary one with a word. And so the very words that comes from Christ's mouth are the very words that sustain and that come alongside and to edify and to comfort us. Remember in Luke 24 on the Emmaus Road, the two disciples, as they're talking with Jesus, and afterwards, what does he say? What do they say after he leaves their presence? "Did not our hearts burn within us?" So that conversation and those words were edifying. So let's look at verse 29. "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear." We need to purpose to build others up with our words. There's a stark contrast here to not unwholesome speech that proceeds out of our mouth, but words with the goal of what? Edification. Building up. Words that strengthen. The word for build up here is the same that's in chapter 4 and verse 12. "For the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ." And so, just as God has given gifts of pastors and teachers and so forth for the purpose of equipping the saints and the building up of the body of Christ, so too with our own words, we are to build up others. Brothers and sisters, I think you know that this takes work. It doesn't come as natural as we would like it to. You can't just say what's on your mind all the time. It's kind of like a big glass of water, you know, and you say something that's on your mind, just gushes out, right? It's not always sanctified, and the choice of words is not always good. A fool opens their mouth, and the contents of their heart comes out. And so it takes work, but it's work that we are called to do. The tongue, it can be express wisdom, but it can also spout folly. It can pour forth wicked things, or it can build up and to illustrate things with grace. Slander and gossip destroy relationships. So that's another thing we need to think about. Not only the tearing down or the foul speech or whatever, but also this whole area of slander and gossip, which is, again, just in today's society, just thought to be perfectly normal. Proverbs 16, a perverse man spreads strife, and a slanderer separates intimate friends. I guess a modern-day application of this is it applies to what you write as well. In this era of emails and Facebook and tweets and Instagrams and whatever all the other social media stuff is, that we would think, what is the purpose of what I'm about to put forth into words, albeit a written form? And so there's some application there as well to consider and to weigh your words before you would communicate them, whether written or verbal. Actually, sometimes it's best to remain silent, isn't it? It's not all, you don't have to speak in every situation. Years ago, someone says, I have often regretted my speech, but never my silence. When's the last time you've regretted your silence? I can think of maybe one situation that an opportunity to share the goodness of God and witnessing, but certainly you understand the general premise. And you know, you've heard these statistics, and they vary widely, but men speak 2,000 to 7,000 words per day, and women 9,000 to 16,000 per day. We love you women. We're not saying anything about that whatsoever, but to think that all those words being spoken, and that every idle word a man shall speak, you shall give an account for in the day of judgment. And so to be careful with how we choose our words, that they would be well-intentioned and for the building up of others. And then at the end of this verse, it says, notice the purpose clause. No unwholesome word, but only such a word as good for edification and the need of the moment. So that takes mental exercise to think, I may have the words I want to say, but when is the best time to communicate those? But then he goes on, so that it will give grace to those who hear. I like Ken Sandy in his Peacemaker book, he communicates this as breathing grace. We're breathing air all the time, but to breathe grace, to build others up in light of their need, that's the motivating purpose of this positive exhortation that Paul gives to the church in Ephesus. I've already mentioned Jesus. In Isaiah 50, the Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples that I may know how to sustain the weary one with the word. He's speaking in the prophetic first person there. So, when was the last time you encouraged someone? When was the last time that you purposed to build somebody up in your conversation? And, you know, verbally is always best, picking up the phone or a face-to-face meeting over coffee or even in between services at church is good. But to purpose to do that, the proverb says, like apples of gold and settings of silver is a word spoken in the right circumstances. And so to think of that, apples of gold, well, a chunk of gold the size of an apple, I would estimate to be valued at probably $250,000, something like that, because it's so dense and so heavy. And then that placed in settings of silver, that's how precious it is to speak a word in the right circumstances, taking all the dollars out of that, but the proverb illustrates it in that way. And then just very practically and lastly, are you known as an encourager? Love is expressed through not only our words of edification, but also our sacrificial love and generosity towards others. Turn to Acts 4 as we wind down. Can anybody remember a particular character in the book of Acts that is called the son of encouragement? Barnabas, yes. And so in chapter 4, verse 32, in the congregation of those who believed were with, notice, one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own, but all things were common property to them. And with great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon all of them. And there was not a needy person among them, for all who were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring their proceeds of the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each one as he had need. Now Joseph, a Levite, Cyprian birth, who was also called Barnabas by the apostles, which translated means son of encouragement, who owned a tract of land, sold it and brought the money and laid it to the apostles' feet. And there's some general comments here about giving sacrificially. Barnabas is mentioned again later in Corinthians. But notice that there's a sacrificial giving, which that takes faith in and of itself. But they were motivated by their commitment of love to God and love for God's people. In other words, wanting to see the kingdom advanced. 1 Corinthians 12, if one member suffers, then all the members suffers. And so this word, son of encouragement, has the idea of lifting one's spirits, bringing comfort and consolation, the act of emboldening another in belief and encouragement. That's important. Some are weighed down with anxiety and depression and discouragement, and sometimes just a word of encouragement can lift that. It can blow it away, the dark clouds of discouragement. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I didn't write out the verse, so I'll flip to it. 2 Corinthians 1, a familiar text here, beginning in verse 4. Or verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves have been comforted by God. Now you can see the repetition of one word there, the idea of comfort, and this comes from God, and that we are actually vessels to be used to comfort others that are going through what we have already gone through. In Romans 15, verse 4, for whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. So, in conclusion, in light of this text, let us be those that examine ourselves. Let us be those that this week we would weigh our words and to see where do we fall in. Are we sinning with our words or are we building up? And to think of ways in which we can guard our speech and think of ways that we can utilize this blessed vehicle of lifting up our voices. We worship the Lord. We lift up praises to Him. But this thing that God has given us to the edification of our brethren, to be a positive encourager. And so ask yourself, are you an encourager or a discourager? And may the Lord help us, in light of what Christ has done for us, to be those who encourage others. Amen.